Blog
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today on the program, I'll be talking with Debbie Glade, the writer, illustrator, narrator, and voice talent of the new children's picture book and CD, The Travel Adventures of Lily P. Badilli in Costa Rica. For more than 15 years, Debbie Glade was a freelance travel writer and researcher for Upscale Cruise Lines. She holds a Bachelor's of Arts degree in creative writing from Florida State University. A self-taught artist, she painted the illustrations for her book in watercolors. She used many different voices to make the characters of her travel adventure come to life. Her daughter Rachel and husband John wrote and performed the original music on the CD, making this a very unique family project. When she's not working, Debbie enjoys a wide variety of crafts, quilt making, and sewing. She loves nature and has a green thumb for tropical gardening. Of course, she loves to read books of all kinds, including children's picture books. Debbie lives in South Florida along with her husband, daughter, and standard poodle, Gigi. So thanks for joining us today, Debbie.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Well, congratulations. This is actually your first book, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Yeah. And so I'm really interested to hear how this first book ended up becoming a family project.
Well, I thought about writing a book for quite a while, and I set some goals for myself to include certain aspects for the book. One, I wanted it to be something for children because I love kids. I wanted to be able to use my painting talents. I was a travel writer for many years, so I thought traveling is probably the best way to go because that's what I know. And I love insects. And then when I combined all that, I thought, how can I do this so that I can use my family's musical talents? Because my daughter is an avid pianist and my husband plays the guitar and harmonica. So what I came up with was this book about Lily, and I included a CD so that we could cover all aspects of our talents.
So it really, right from the get-go, from the beginning, it was going to be a family project.
Yes, I had that in mind before I even created the topic.
Oh, that's so interesting. So with your background in travel writing, it makes sense that your first book would be around a theme of travel. But why a children's book? You know, you just said that you have a love of children, but, you know, it's a very different format writing a children's book than a regular novel?
Well, when I thought about it, I realized that with a fiction travel book, I could really use my creativity without any rules to entertain kids. And I think that there's a need for certain kinds of books for kids that I know there's many out there, but I thought our kids in our country are kind of lacking in geography, and I thought I could fill a need by covering that area.
Yeah, there are a lot of studies out there, and I've seen numerous news programs, articles that are really indicating that children, there's a lot taught about, you know, the U.S., but not a whole lot outside of the borders. So, you know, I think you're really on point with that.
Yes, National Geographic did a study about children and geography, and they discovered that our students are lacking in information even about our own country. Some other countries are better educated about our locations than some of our students are. And we can improve that by teaching kids at a very young age about travel and geography and encouraging them to go do some research of their own and look up places and cultures.
So it's such a young age because this book is really geared for the 5 to 10
Right.
age range. Tell us what your thought process is in adding travel themes to younger children like that. What are you keeping in mind when you're writing?
Well, I wanted to make it fun because if it was just really boring and educational, nobody would really want to read
right.
it. And I wanted to include, the main character, Lily, is an avid reader. And it shows the reader of my book that learning to look things up and get more information on your own is a very important part of life. And by researching different places, even if you can't visit them, you can learn more about them and expand your horizons. The book includes facts about Costa Rica and the pictures. I tried to make animals and plants, even though they're sort of cartoon-like, as authentic as I could, so the children could get an idea of what they could find in Costa Rica if they were to visit there.
Mm-hmm. It's just an incredible, incredible place. Why did you decide Costa Rica?
Of all the places that I've written about, mm-hmm. I found that to be the most fascinating as far as the wildlife goes.
Mm-hmm.
There are thousands of species of insects and plants and animals, and there are volcanoes, and it's a very fascinating, well-protected country. Mm. 25% of the land is conserved, and that provides an excellent environment for all the plants and animals that grow there.
Mm-hmm. I think Costa Rica is, like, right up there on one of the eco-tourist destinations. I mean, that's kind of probably...
Yes, they're setting a standard.
Yeah.
They attract visitors, and a lot of the money that comes in from tourism goes back into protecting their environment. And on top of that, they're educating visitors when they get to their country about protecting their environment.
Mm-hmm.
Spreads the word throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the world.
And what an amazing place Costa Rica is, because it is such a peaceful, from what I hear, I've never been there, but I have researched it because I would love to go myself. But, I mean, they have the University for Peace there. They're very peace-oriented people. So, I mean, I think it's a great first pick for this book.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many places to choose from. But that was my first idea, so I just went with it.
Yeah, and I understand you've actually never been there.
Not yet, but hopefully very soon. I just wrote about it so many times that it was my first pick. I've written about so many fascinating places, and there was never enough time for me to travel to all of them because I was so busy writing about them.
Sure. Well, maybe you can do a book signing down there.
That's what I plan to do.
Yeah, are you? That's great. So, okay, so tell us about the story that you tell in The Adventures of Lily P. Badilly.
Well, Lily is a little millipede who lives in the Miami International Airport with her grandparents, Nellie and Willie Badilly, and they have lived in the airport. She's lived in the airport her whole life and has never been anywhere, and one day her bold granny decides that it's time for the family to sneak on a plane and travel somewhere. So Grandpa Willie goes out and checks for flights and discovers that there's a flight soon leaving for Costa Rica. So they sneak aboard the plane by climbing into a man's briefcase, and they have this exciting travel adventure. Lily has a lot of fears and discovers all kinds of scary things along the way, but she works through her fears using her mind and her music.
So Lily is the heroine in this book, and I'm kind of assuming that you are going to do a series with this project.
That's my plan.
Yeah. So tell us a little more about her, how she evolved as you were writing and formulating this story, and how you actually originally came up with her character. And I know your daughter was a great inspiration.
Yes, my daughter, who has always been an avid reader since a young age, was the inspiration for the main character. She likes books of all kinds and has always asked for books, usually over toys, and so we've bought a lot of them for her. Me being a writer, my husband is also an avid reader. Of course, our child is going to get as many books as possible. We use the library, and then we also buy books kind of excessively. We try to tone it down so we don't spend too much money, but there's so many exciting books, it's kind of hard to pass it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used her personality traits and interests as my inspiration for the main character, Lily, because Rachel, my daughter, likes to read and solves her problems using the information she gets from books very often and just her common sense. And I thought it would be kind of a neat way to introduce a character to kids instead of a popular girl who wants to be liked by everyone.
Mm.
It would be nice to have a child who uses her brain and is really fascinated by facts, and you don't have to know everything, but you can figure it out if you research it.
Mm-hmm.
So Lily is an avid reader, and she decides that she can learn how to do anything by looking it up, and even though she has fears, she works through them by using her brain and her common sense and talking through it. And then on top of that, since my daughter's so musically inclined and my house is always full of music,
mm-hmm.
she plays the piano and the sitar. And my husband plays the guitar and harmonica, so there's always a performance going on here.
Sounds like a great house.
Inspire me as well.
Yeah.
And music is a great way to bring people and creatures together. It's a positive thing, and that's how Lily conquers her fears and solves her problems in the book.
Okay. So was it a conscious thing that you wanted to promote children to read more through?
That was my number one goal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I wrote this book, I want children to read more. I've done a lot of volunteering at my daughter's schools, and I live in South Florida where we have a lot of challenges in our public school system with reading level, and there's been some improvements, but there's always room for more. We have a lot of people here that come from other countries, and oftentimes English isn't their first language. And they have some struggles because it's really not fair. If you don't speak English first, it's not as easy. But they can learn, and our schools are trying to promote more reading, and this is a good way for me to add to that and hope that I can make a difference. If my book is fun, then a child will want to read that, and then they'll realize that if that's fun, maybe there are other fun things to read. And so we can instill a love of reading into somebody from a very young age.
That's a really, really good point. And, you know, you hear a lot these days with the new technologies we're having that there is the potential for reading to kind of drop off because we've got podcasts, we've got TV, we've got video, DVD, all of this. I mean, is that for you as a writer writing children's books, is that a concern for you?
Yes, that's something that you read about a lot and hear about a lot. And the older a child is without an interest in reading, the less likely they'll ever become interested in reading.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get them early, then they have a better chance of getting hooked and continuing on their quest to look for other things to read. There's so many things to read, not just picture books. There's very good information online about a lot of different subjects. And I don't think TV is a terrible thing, but if you sit and watch TV day in and day out, you're not going to be learning everything that there is to learn. You also won't be getting any exercise, so that's not a good thing either.
No, that's so true. So as a mom, it would be your advice then that parents really need to challenge their children with reading and not leave it up to just schools?
Absolutely, and the great thing is we have libraries and books are free. In fact, when my daughter was 3 days old, she had a library card. Believe it or not, back then, that was right before the Internet came out, and I used to do all my research by purchasing guidebooks and going to the library to do research because there was no Internet back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought her to the library with me and asked if she was too young to have a card, and they said no. So that's when she got her card, and that day I checked out a book for her. So that's how it starts. If parents have a love of reading, then their children are more likely to, and if parents realize that they wish that they had had one and they never really got around to it, they can make that change by getting their kids interested because there are so many fascinating books and picture stories and books on tape and you know, it's endless opportunities. And you don't have to buy them. You can go to the library and check them out. And also every library in any city in the U.S. has special programs for kids and reading nights. And
yes.
You start very young, and they will love it. And they like to spend time with their parents, so if you read to them, that's the best quality time that you could possibly spend.
It really is. I love that idea that you brought up, the library programs, because I think that is still a very untapped resource for parents. And this book of yours and with the CD, I mean, it would just be perfect for that kind of a program.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Have you used it? Have you gotten it out to libraries at this point?
I have. Since the book just came out, I'm just getting started. And I did create a program here in South Florida where I am locally that I will visit any school or library and do a presentation. And I give a 20% donation of my sales price back to the school for the books that I sell.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Okay, so I imagine then with Lily being so musically inclined also, I mean, this really opens up children to the possibility of artistic creativity, whether it be through music or however else they want to express themselves.
Yes, that was another one of my hopes, that children would get interested in music. I don't really have musical abilities, and I don't play an instrument, but I love music, and I love to listen to it, and I use it for relaxation and motivation, and I love to hear it in my home when I'm just about doing work and cleaning the dishes. It makes time go faster.
Oh, we have to have music in our lives. I'm a huge music lover myself, and I couldn't imagine life without it.
I think a lot of children would learn. Children have stress just like adults do, and oftentimes they don't show it the same way we do. And I notice with my daughter, I can tell by the way she's playing if she's playing to, you know, release some tension, maybe just too much work at school or a bad day. I can tell by the way she's banging on the piano if she's trying to release some tension. And then she always seems a lot better after she's done.
Yeah.
It's a very peaceful way of getting out your frustrations.
Oh, it's a great outlet. So your husband, John, he's also musically inclined. What was his contribution to the CD?
Well, my daughter and I started writing the music. I wrote the lyrics, and then we would kind of play around after school last year to write some music, and she's so busy with a heavy workload that we would just fit in the time when we could. And my husband is a banker, so he wasn't usually around for that. But after we got a lot of the music down pretty solidly, and he was home on a Saturday, he took out his guitar, and he has this amazing ability to just add so much life to whatever we did, switch it around a little bit, and really, really pick up the tempo. And of course, a harmonica is one of the most fun instruments to listen to, and it really makes it, you know, children dance. So it turned out to be a nice collaboration between the three of us.
We
sure laughed a lot when we did it.
Oh, I bet it was just a blast. I mean, I hope that you took a lot of pictures or video footage, because that is some great family memory right there.
Yeah, we did take some pictures. We had nobody here to take video, but I kind of wish we had.
Yeah.
No matter how often I use my crazy voices, it makes them laugh. So
Well,
hard to keep a straight face.
Yeah. I want to talk now a little bit about your voices, because all of the characters on the CD are played by you?
Right.
Okay, so tell us how this started with all of your voices, and then I think I'm going to want to talk with Lily if we can.
Okay, well, I'm 9 years older than my brother, and when he was born and he came home from the hospital, I was so excited. For some reason, when they pulled up in the driveway, my parents took him out of the car, and I just started talking in my cartoon voice to him, like my baby talk, and it really stuck, and I used it a lot, and I found that our family pet, our dog, seemed to really like it, and people would laugh, adults and children, and I would use it, you know, I usually use it when I'm in a very good mood. If I'm really sad, Lily's not there, but I try to use it, and I have a dog at home, and I talk to her in that voice. In fact, when she hears the CD from the book, she thinks I'm talking to her.
Yeah.
Just tell. She comes over and sits with me and starts licking my face, so I know she thinks that it's for her.
Oh, that's sweet. That's so sweet.
So that was one of the many voices that I used, and then I practiced to try to make the voices different, and I would spend a lot of time just on a regular tape recorder at home laughing pretty hard and trying different voices, and then my daughter was usually home, and she would comment about what she liked and didn't like. Took me a long time to get Grandma Nellie's voice down. I ended up using a British accent because all the other voices that I tried to use sounded too forceful and obnoxious, and I didn't want Grandma Nellie to sound like a mean lady.
I mean, yeah.
She's not. She's bossy, but she's not mean, so I used my British accent for that.
That's
and Grandpa Willie, that came to me pretty quickly. It's kind of silly, but it just all came together.
That is so funny. So when you were recording this, I mean, you basically have to embody a character. It's really like that you're acting.
Yes, you end up acting. And what's interesting is we went to the recording studio, and when you self-publish a book, of course, all the expenses are your own. So I knew going in that I was going to be paying the recording studio by the hour, and I wanted to be very well rehearsed, because the more hours you take, the more money it costs to record. So I practiced that book so much at home before the recording date, and I didn't plan on this happening, but somehow we got into that studio, and the recording engineer said, let's just try it from the beginning to the end. I had always assumed you record the music first, and then you go back and fill in. He said, let's just try it from the beginning to the end. So I went from my narration to my voices right straight through, and then we played the music, and we only made a few mistakes and then went back and fixed them. It was very exhausting, but extremely effective. It was great just going right through the entire thing. It was just because I had practiced so much.
You were really prepared. Yeah, that's amazing. So you were basically one day in the studio?
One day was an eight-hour event. I thought I was going to have to go for 5 days or something, It turned out to be we practiced the music at home so many times. We had the notes written down. My husband and my daughter worked separately on all the music, and my daughter was responsible for all the background music that you hear. I didn't have to worry too much about that. The hard thing was when I stood in the recording studio, I was in a room by myself, and I could see through a looking glass my husband, and he could see my daughter, but I couldn't see her.
Mm.
When we were at home, we practiced, and I would watch her fingers on the piano keys, and I was a little confused about when to stop and start, but my husband took control and pointed at me or pointed at her and told us when to go and when to stop. You can hear everybody in the studio, but you can't see everybody.
Them. Yeah. Well, what a cohesive unit you guys are.
It just worked really well. I guess it was from being well prepared and just enjoying. When you enjoy what you do, somehow it all works out.
Yeah, it all flowed so easily. So can we talk to Lily for a minute?
Yes, you can talk to her. Here she is. She really likes it.
Well, hello, Lily, and thank you for talking with me. I hear you went on quite an adventure.
Yes, I was a little bit scared, but I really like Costa Rica.
Are you very happy to be back home?
Yes, because Granny made me my favorite fluffy pumpkin pie with whipped cream, and I really like it.
Yummy. So I understand that you faced some really scary challenges when you went to Costa Rica. What would you like to tell children about what they can do when they're a little frightened?
Well, I don't really like the darkness, and I'm scared of spiders, and I don't like it when it's thundering outside. But if you really think about it and you try to be calm, and you listen to some really snazzy music in your head, you'll find that you feel a lot better. Plus, my grandpa made me feel better, and he reassured me that everything was going to be okay.
They sound like very nice grandparents.
I like them a real lot.
So are you going to go on another adventure?
Yeah, I can't wait to go somewhere, and I'm not going to tell you where because it's a surprise.
Oh, and I was going to ask you, too.
We'll see. If you look in the book, you might find a hint about it.
Okay. Well, we're going to do that. Well, thanks for talking with us, Lily. I hope to talk with you again.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, Debbie, that's great.
Thank you.
Oh, what a fun, fun project.
And we'll be back. More Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Established in 1998, Rebecca's Reads is a book review and publicity service serving a large reading audience as well as a wide community of authors, publishers, publicists, and buyers and sellers. They offer reviews of recently published books as well as chapter readings, teasers, and videos to help you decide what book you would like to read next. Their insightful author interviews take connecting reader and author one step further, and if you decide you would like to purchase a book, an easy-to-navigate link will allow you to purchase the book immediately online. For the authors, publicists, and publishers, Rebecca's Reads has a variety of publicity services to help them market their books to their reading audience. Their services are budget-friendly and effective. For buyers and sellers, they have a monthly list of current reviews in the Book Review Index for easy browsing, as they know your time is precious and efficiency is a priority. Be sure to visit RebeccasReads.com and browse around their new space. Whatever your literary need, this user-friendly website may be just what you're looking for. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with Debbie Glade, author of the new children's book, The Travel Adventures of Lily P. Badilly. You can find out more about Debbie and her book through the website lilybadilly.com. So tell us a little bit about the self-publishing aspect, because, you know, it's such a huge endeavor, and you did self-publish. How did you educate yourself, and what advice would you give aspiring authors getting started?
Well, the first thing you have to know is that I don't know the exact numbers, but there's well over 100,000 books published every year. almost double that,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's self-published.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to know that it's not an easy thing to do, and books are not an easy thing to sell because there's a lot of competition. And first you start out by deciding what type of book you want to write and look at your competition, see what's out there. What's interesting is when you go to the bookstore, not everything is phenomenal. You'll find a lot of books that you wonder how they got published because they're mediocre or they're not so good. I mean, there are some phenomenal books, but not all of them, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's trends in stories. And the key for me was finding in that vast sea of children's picture books something unique. A travel adventure is not a new idea because millions of books have been written about travel adventures, but one like this is unique.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, because it has a CD. And number two, because of all the themes, you know, geography and culture and plants and animals and fears and the love of reading combining with music, I tried to find a unique niche that needed to be filled, and that's what I hoped to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got started that way. But it's a huge process. There are some great books about self-publishing, and I suggest read all of the ones you can get your hands on. And the Internet has so much information. It's so overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And you take it a step at a time, because honestly, I didn't really know what I was doing. I just figured it out. You can slowly, you know, figure it out, ask a lot of questions, and you'll make some mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say the biggest challenge is finding an affordable way to print and getting high-quality work, because when I did my book, I wanted everything to be high quality, the CD, the story, the illustrations, the printing, the quality of the book, because I want it to be able to last. Children like to read and reread, and I wouldn't want to have something that falls apart or just doesn't look like it's up to par. There's an awful lot of competition, and if you take pride in what you do, then you'll be much happier to sell it.
Mm-hmm. It really is key to get a good printer, because a book that looks like it's, you know, the effort hasn't been put in the printing process, or it looks a little shabby on that end. I mean, it really reflects, and people don't want to buy a book that isn't of quality.
And you'd be surprised how many people, just to cut corners, do that because they don't think they have any choice.
Yeah.
You kind of have to be realistic going in that this is not going to be a free project. Somebody's going to have to pay for the upfront costs, and if you do it right, I know there's on-demand printing, but I didn't use that. I used a traditional printer. I've learned a lot, and I'm glad that I know now. When you print a children's book, it really needs to be hardcover, and the binding is what really runs you into a lot of expense, and it's hard to find a bindery that is affordable, and I was lucky to find a printer right here in the state of Florida that does the binding and the printing, and it brought the cost down.
Why is it important just for the wear and tear? Is that why it's important?
Yes, children stomp on books and press down on the binding real hard, and if you have a paper-bound book, it can split.
Yeah.
And also, I want the CDs attached to the inside back cover, and I would never include that in a soft cover book. It could crack the CD. It just wouldn't be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
There are some soft cover adult books that have a CD in it, like, you know, how-to books.
Sure.
Adults are different than kids, and they take, you know, aren't usually as hard on books. Kids tend to press the pages open real hard.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got my first sample book, I actually got up on a couch and jumped down on the floor on the center of the book to see if it would hold.
Well, that's a good thing that you did, because children's books end up on the floor with the toys and they get stepped on and kicked and all sorts of stuff. So
I know it's devastating. And one thing we can do from an early age is you can teach your kids to really respect their books, especially if they have a little library in their room, even just a little shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to teach my daughter that, and we have books all over our house.
That is a really good point. I've never heard anyone actually say that before. I think that is a fantastic idea for parents to create a space and really respect books like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If they see you do it, then they'll do it as well, especially purchasing books of any kind ends up being costly, just like our CDs and music we listen to. If you add up all the CDs that you have, kind of startling how much money you spend over the years on things like that.
And but not only just for the value of the book, you know, on an economic level, but just the value of the words in books, and it really places, you know,
respect for the written word.
Yes, exactly. I love that. So what else did you encounter during self-publishing that maybe was a threw a curveball at you?
Well, one of the aspects is that it's not that easy to get a review from a major reviewer when you most of them will not look at a self-published book. So there's some avenues you need to take to go around things like that. There's some excellent self-published books, and some of the most famous writers were self-publishers. I understand Mark Twain self-published some of his books. So there's a way to do it. Unfortunately, there are a lot of high-quality self-published books, and there's a lot of books like we discussed that aren't high-quality where somebody didn't pay attention to the grammar or the quality of the printing, and then the self-publisher, you know, the respect is lost, and it's really a shame. So you kind of have to be, if you're excited about what you produced, then people will take a look at it. And for me, my best critics are little kids. They love it, and even the adults seem to really laugh at my voice and listen to the CD. So, you know, you just have to really have a project plan and a marketing plan and plug ahead and expect, with anything else, anyone who's ever been successful, you know, faces a lot of setbacks and knows, and I've learned quickly that people don't return phone calls and emails quite often, but you keep plugging along, and I tell myself, until the person says no to me, it's a maybe, so I keep trying.
Good point. You know, I like the way you consider that you have to almost view this after you've written it. This is a business, and you have to have a marketing plan, and I think that's one area where many self-published authors end up stumbling a little bit because they've written the book, but now it comes to marketing and promoting the book.
Right, and they're not prepared. Well, one of the things I learned, my husband is an excellent businessman, and when I talked to him about writing a book, he said, before you write one word, tell me how you're going to sell it. So I started writing a marketing plan. And, of course, the world changes over these couple of years when I started to think about it with the Internet and everything. But I worked on that quite a bit and did my homework. And I already realized I made some mistakes or some things I could have done earlier that I didn't do. But they're not fatal errors.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes things just take some time. But there's a process that you need to go through. And luckily, with the information age, there's so many books and websites about marketing and promoting books. There's so much information that you couldn't possibly follow up everything that you read.
I just
have to start with one avenue.
Yeah.
And for me, I thought, why don't I start locally in South Florida, which is why I created my program to visit schools. And I live right in the Miami area. We have a huge population, and we have so many thousands of students. I live in Broward County, and I believe we have the sixth largest school board in the United States, so we have many hundreds of thousands of students here. And that's the way to start. I think a lot of people start out and think that their book's going to be delivered from a printer, and then that day they're going to be on national TV and they're going to be a star.
They're going to.
And that does not work that way.
No, it really doesn't.
It's a process, and you must follow it and have a local interest and then branch out from there.
Yeah. I like the idea that you say that it has to be a process, and that the first book, everyone is going to learn something. There's going to be mistakes made, but I think that is just a part of the process, and if you persevere through that, the second book, the third book will just be a lot easier. And so I think that you're really on key for that. Well, I'm so happy to hear that you are focusing locally. I mean, that region with this book geared to, you know, it's set in Miami and then Costa Rica. I mean, that's a perfect audience.
Thank you. Yes, that's what I'm planning to do, and then branch out from there, because as long as someone can read English, and they can enjoy the book, and everyone wants to travel and learn more about the world. And I hope to get to Costa Rica and get the book sold there as well. Many people speak English there, and many American tourists visit Costa Rica.
There's a lot of Americans that live down there.
The weather and the climate and the lifestyle are quite good. I think things are more affordable there than they are for us here right now.
So your daughter is 15 now. How old was she when you were doing this project?
I started the project when she was 13, and she wrote most of the music when she was 14.
Oh, okay.
And then we recorded it right after her 15th birthday in August, so she'll be 16 in August. We wrote the music over the course of about 8 months or so, because it was during the school year, and then we recorded it in the summer.
So how did you, Debbie, how did you juggle the many hats of mom, author, illustrator, and then into the whole publishing world as well.
Well, if you ask anybody who knows me, they'll tell you that I'm exhausted all the time. It's really not easy. On top of everything else, my mom has had cancer for 9 years, and I'm the only offspring here in Florida, and I've helped her out quite a bit, so it's been quite a struggle. And I also have a lot of driving to do. My daughter goes to school far away from the house, about 11 miles back and forth and back and forth, and, you know, doing all the other duties of life. And there's so many women and men in this country that wear so many hats and do so many things, single parents that work and have to take care of everything at home and the bills and the carpooling and the cooking and the shopping. So I'm certainly not the only one. But one of the things that I do is I'm an avid morning exerciser. I've never been an athlete, but I do about an hour worth of rigorous exercise every morning, and that really gives me a lot of energy. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to function, probably.
I think that's a really good point. Discharges a lot of tension and then gets the blood going, gets the endorphins going, and probably makes you much more creative in the process.
Very true. And let me tell you, if you're a writer and you sit at a computer a lot and read books a lot, you're not burning any calories.
Yeah.
So you must find a way to do that, because it's very important to stay healthy. And it's important, as we know in our country, we have a crisis with children and adults. Staying healthy and eating too much junk food and sitting on your butt all the time are not going to keep you healthy.
That sounds like an interesting sort of tangent you can go in one of your books.
Yes, I've thought about that.
Yeah.
That's very true. Of course, insects get a lot of exercise because they have to move around to look for food and to survive.
Well, especially a millipede.
Yes. But there should be something about that in one of my stories.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Where did this love of insects come from?
Well, I've always been a nature person, and my husband and my daughter and I love to go camping, and we like anything that has to do with nature and the outdoors, and we've traveled a lot, and we love the Florida Everglades. A couple weeks ago, we went on a 15-mile bike ride through the Florida Everglades, and there's alligators. They roam free, and they don't bother you if you don't bother them, and very unusual birds and lots of butterflies and insects. In fact, on this trail, we saw several millipedes, and we really got a kick out of that.
Oh, wow.
Also, in my garden, I meet all kinds of interesting creatures.
Oh, yeah.
Snakes and bugs, and then I like to come in and get my different guidebooks that I have about insects and try to figure out what they are.
Florida has a very, very unique geography, flora and fauna that grow there. It's very very Caribbean-like and very tropical. So
we overlap a lot with the critters of Costa Rica, which is one of the reasons I like picking that, too, because the plants and animals are somewhat familiar to me. People who have never been to South Florida are usually shocked when they get here because we have little lizards that run around all over the place. And they're not used to that, but they don't bother you. They do get in your house, but they don't hurt anything.
If anything, they're just going to eat little pests, little bugs that you don't want in your house anyway.
Right.
So what is your website, Debbie?
My website is www.lilybedilly.com, and it's full of all kinds of information. Lily moves across the page, and she sings, and I have sample pages with audio.
Okay.
And there's a page about Costa Rica so kids can learn more about plants and specific plants and animals. And there's information about the recording of the CD and an author bio. And there's also a link to my Smart Poodle site. That's www.smartpoodlepublishing.com, which is the publishing website. And there's a blog on there for parents about information on helping to get your kids to read more and other interesting articles. And lots more.
Great. So is there information there about your classroom visits if people want to get in touch with you for that?
Right. Okay. They can find that on there as well.
Okay, great. Now, I know, I don't know if I got it from your website or what it was, but there is a great resource that you have for educators and parents regarding the themes for learning and teaching.
Right.
Yeah, is that on your website?
Yes, that is on my website, and it's 12 themes, educational themes, for teaching my book.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I love that. I mean, you're touching on travel, culture, geography, fears, problem solving, family situations. I mean, that is just an excellent resource, and I hope that listeners that are interested in your book really do go to your site and find this, because it's fantastic.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Whether I do a presentation myself or a teacher or parent buys a book to educate a student, they can use those themes. And the good thing is the reader will never really know. They won't read this book and say, wow, that writer really shoved that information down my throat and it bored me. They won't even realize what exactly they're learning, because it's fun, it's presented in such a fun, unique way.
I imagine you have to be very conscious writing a children's book that it doesn't get too preachy, because, you know, that doesn't work for parents. Children don't really appreciate that either.
Because they can get information out of an encyclopedia, and if something is boring, then a child will not want to finish it, and it may turn them off.
Yeah.
You don't want to turn young readers off, and you never want to preach to them, but you'd like to stir up some sort of interest in them where they'd say, let me go online or go to the library and get another book about this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, you know, you've done a good job if you've sparked some interest there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I have to say, we're getting close to our time here, but I want to mention the illustrations that you've included in this book, because they are so fantastic.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I used watercolors, and I used a lot of paint and less water to make them very bright.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, if any listener will pay attention, when they go to the bookstore or the library, you'll notice that a lot of children's picture books aren't even, the illustrations might be phenomenal in quality, but the colors are kind of dull on many of them, not all of them. And I'm not sure why, but I just know, even as an adult, that I like brightly colored pictures, and I don't want to see brown or pastel paintings in a children's book, because I think a child would be more interested to, you know, open and read the book if the colors are very bright. So there's a saying, obviously, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but people really do, and mine is an extremely bright, vibrant cover that will really stand out in a bookstore or in a child's room, and they'll make them want to pick it up and look at the pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I also tried to make the pictures tell the story, so that if a child can't read at all and wasn't even listening to the CD, they could actually figure out what the story was about.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a reason why many picture books don't make it, because the pictures don't tell the story well enough.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And this opens this book up to a wider age range then.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Well, if you're too young to read, you can listen to the CD. And if you're a sophisticated reader, the book is actually quite advanced.
Mm-hmm.
I broke some of the publishing rules because I wanted to cater to kids that really were curious and a little bit more advanced and wanted something different, but without discriminating against any level of reader.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had four-year-olds sit with the book, and there's a sound on the CD that tells you when to turn the page. It's the sound of a page turning.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how to read, but they have no trouble following along. And ironically,
right.
No trouble sitting through the 35 minutes of the CD, which is quite long, but
mm-hmm.
the ones I have seen have enjoyed it and sat through the entire story.
They love it. Well, that CD is fantastic with all of the different voices. You add in sound effects, authentic Costa Rican sound effects, and I mean, that's just totally captivating for kids, and it makes this such an interactive project.
Yes, thank you.
Well, I am just so happy that you came on today, Debbie, to talk with us. I really love this book, and
thank you.
And I hope it gets out to as many children as possible, and you've put something out there that really is unique, and I can't wait to see more of what you have to offer.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I really appreciate
it.
It was fun.
Yeah, you bet. Did you have any final thoughts you wanted to share with our listeners before you left?
I just wanted to say I hope you enjoy the book and the CD, and send me an email and tell me what you think, and look for some future adventures with Lily Peavadilly.
All right, Debbie, thank you so much, and you take care.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, listeners, I've been talking with Debbie Glade. Her new children's book, The Travel Adventures of Lily Peavadilly in Costa Rica, And I know that we're going to be seeing much more from this author. This is a fantastic children's book, and it's just really a matter of time before it gets out there. It's something to check out, parents. So thank you so much. Oh, let's just mention the website once again, www.lillybadilly.com, and that's LillyBadilly.com. All right, so thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Juanita Watson. Until next time.
Blog Talk Radio.